Thinks Media.
Mike Thinks News for the week of June 1st. You promised me one easy connection. And now you're giving me this? Thanks, News. I, of course, am your host, Mike James. Hey, thank you so much for downloading and listening to the show. You know, that's what it's all about here. You know, watching the downloads go up, getting the emails of support. I really do appreciate each and every one of you. And hey, if you're a long-term subscriber, you know I always say thank you, but maybe you're new to the show. Maybe you just started listening. This is your first show. You're a Mike Thinks News virgin. Woo! Give the show a couple listens. Takes a little getting used to, but I promise you, you're going to hear some news that you're probably not going to hear anywhere else. And of course, we do interject a little bit of my own opinion in the mix. Now, those of you that have been around for a while, you know the email address, mikethinks@gmail.com. And I know you know the voicemail hotline where you can call in and let your own voice be heard. 347-284-6453. Say it with me, 347-BUG-MIKE, the most fun number in podcasting. So we do the news around here, and let's go ahead and start with our first news story. Now, this first story comes off of Wired Science. It's a very interesting story about why we stare. Now, you've had to have noticed this, that there are times when you look at someone, even though you know you probably shouldn't, and you just can't keep from looking. Now, this story is tied into a couple of recent stories about some of the new recipients of face transplants. You know, people that have suffered just incredibly horrific amounts of disfigurement through maybe a dog attack or a gunshot wound or who knows what, and just have, you know, faces that just don't look anything like faces anymore. And you'll notice that in my professionalism, I will avoid all mentions of Michael Jackson. Oops. Anyway, you know, seriously though, there are people that have had some face transplants recently. A couple of them have been in the news. And one thing you notice is that depending on the person and the level of damage they had and the face that they received, sometimes it looks pretty good, and other times it just looks pretty strange. But in all cases, it looks a lot better than what they started out with, because at least now they've got an eyes, a nose, and a mouth. A lot of these people literally had no center of their face, no cheekbones, no nose, you know, just, and people would stare. And interviews with these people explaining what it felt like, you just couldn't get the sense of how hard it is just to have everyday interactions with someone because they cannot get over what you look like. And I know it's very easy to be dismissive and saying, look, you know, okay, so people stare at you, just get on with your life. But honestly, it can be very distracting when people don't even pay attention to you. You have to continually repeat yourself because you can really get distracted. And this story in Wired explains that it's an evolutionary thing and it is almost impossible to get away from. Your brain basically locks on and starts investigating what is going on with that thing that's supposed to be a face. And, you know, whether you know it's wrong, you don't want to make the person feel bad, you just can't help yourself. Of course, I'll link up to this in the show notes. You can find all the show notes over at thinksmedia.com. That's our parent site. Of course, you old timers, you guys can go to mikethinksnews.com. It's always going to be there too. Now, let's take just a brief moment before we head on to our next story to talk about our long-term sponsor here on Mike Thinks News. And that, of course, is GoToMeeting. Conference calls. You know, anyone in business knows how frustrating they can be. It's tough to keep everyone focused and to keep the meeting moving along. That's why I want you to start using GoToMeeting. It'll keep everyone on the same page. All your conference calls will be more productive and more engaging. You know, GoToMeeting is perfect for sales presentations, product demos, training sessions. With GoToMeeting, you can hold as many meetings as you want for one low flat rate. Plus, with the phone and voice IP conferencing support included free, hey, this service is getting better and better. You know, you can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days, but you must visit GoToMeeting/podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/podcast for a free 30-day trial. And now let's move on to a little internet news. This one's off of FoxNews.com. Twitter says it's not going to be free forever. Well, you know, I kind of hope that all Twitter services aren't free forever. But I really, you know, I'm reading through the article and they haven't announced, you know, the developers haven't announced any kind of pricing plan or any definite ideas of what they're going to do. But let's be very honest here. I like Twitter. It is the one social network that I'm actually actively involved in. You can follow me at Mike Thinks. It's, you know, twitter.com/Mike Thinks or twitter.com/Thinks Media. And I like Twitter. I use it. I post things on it and I get lots of information and I love following all of you out there. You know, if you follow me, hey, I'll follow you. And if I forget, beat me over the head. Beat me about the head and neck. I do. I go through and I try to update all my follows at least once a week. But it's a great way to learn things and to connect with people. But to pay for it, would you pay for it? Well, I got news for you. I would, because I do a lot of podcasting. You know, I do this show. I do Let's Watch Movies. I do a newscast live about once every 2 to 3 weeks. We do a show there. Got a couple other shows I'm working on. So I probably would pay a little bit, you know, $5 a month or something like that. Most people probably wouldn't, but I would like to see a Twitter Pro account that maybe gave you a little bit more, maybe gave you a bigger picture icon, maybe gave you a couple more characters. I wouldn't want to go nuts. I really don't want to go nuts with, posted her longer than the 140 characters, because you know the reason for that is so it'll fit on a cell phone SMS message, right? Yeah, that's one of the main reasons there. By the time you get the Twitter header in there, that's all they can squeeze out of there reliably. But I certainly would like to see some pro features, you know, something that would allow us to do something. You know, there's actually right now on my Twitter, when you go there on the Mike Thinks Twitter page, my icon says has a little red stripe at the bottom. It says geek or dork. I forget which, but it used to say a lot of people for April Fools were putting pro, because that was a big April Fools joke that Twitter came out with, Twitter Pro. And so I just put up there, you know, geek or dork or something like that. And I've just left it on there because I like it. But what would you do? Would you pay $5 a month for some kind of super Twitter? And what features would you be willing to pay for? Now, also in internet news, I know you've heard about it. Bing! That's the sound of the new search for Microsoft. That's right. Microsoft Live Search is now known as Bing. I know, terrible voices. Hey, you know, what about Bing? Is Google ready to be overthrown? Well, I don't think so. I would like to see another valid search engine. A lot of you probably haven't been around as long on the internet as I have. There was a time before Google when there were lots of different search engines, and one kind of rose to the top. It was called AltaVista. And that search engine was the search engine I used for years. Even well after Google became popular, I was still using AltaVista, but it kind of, I think Yahoo or AOL or somebody bought it and just basically didn't go anywhere with it. And somebody said, hey, you ought to try Google. And I tried it and I was getting better search results. And so I started using it. And that is the thing that Google, I think, is very aware of, is that you're not loyal to Google for any reason other than the fact that they do a good job. The minute they aren't doing as good a job as somebody else, you're gone. Brand loyalty might keep you around for a week or two, but if you see that you're getting crappy search results, you can't find what you want, and this other engine always gets you what you want, you will go over there. The question is, does Microsoft really have the drive and the know-how to make Bing any better than Google, because Google's already amazing. Yeah, I don't want to say how do you improve on perfection, but really, how do you improve on Google? Well, there's a couple things you could do, and one of them is getting rid of the spam search results. I still, to this day, cannot stand when I search for a review on a product, and I get pages that list the product but have nothing to do with a review. And that's because lots of sites strategically place the word review in their site, even if they don't have an actual review. Very often they'll couch it in the terms of, hey, why don't you review the item? That way they can say, oh, well, we're not doing it to fool the search engines. I would love if Google had a little, no, this wasn't what I was looking for, and I think this is crap, little button I could push. That, if Bing does that, I'll go over there just because it'll make me feel good when I get one of those cruddy search results that leads me to CNET for a page that they just have nothing but the information off of the press release on a printer or something, and I was looking to get a review on it, and they just happen to have the word, hey, be the first to review. No. Give me a button that says, this link is crap. I'll start binging it. How about you? Let me know. MikeThinks@gmail.com. Now, let's move on to a little geeky tech news. All right, now this story comes off of TrenderResearch.com. Although it's quite a well spread around story, this is where I happen to find it. Vizio has jumped to number one in LCD HD TVs in North America. Now, that's a lot of acronyms there. But basically what it is, Vizio, that's spelled V-I-Z-I-O, is where it's at if you want an inexpensive LCD TV. You know, I bought a Vizio after my last high-definition TV took one for the team while my daughter was playing Boom Blocks on the Wii. Yes, I am an official statistics. So, it was a first-generation high-definition TV. Bought it like 4 or 5 years ago. You know, back when there were the only thing in HD was The Tonight Show. And it was a big honking TV. It was, I think it was 50 inches, but it was like 26 inches deep. You know, it was a big projection cabinet. And I was real happy to get the flat panel. Got it at Costco, where a lot of the Vizios are sold. And can't say enough about what a great TV it is for the price. Now, back when I bought it, I got it for, I think, $1,200 for a 52-inch. And that was at least a year ago. And that was a real good price back then. And it is an excellent TV. Is it as good as a TV I could have spent $3,500 on? No, probably not. Probably doesn't have quite the contrast ratio, quite the color saturation, but it's darn close. And it's amazing how quickly this brand, this no-name brand, has become number one in North America. You know, keep in mind, you can get this thing at Target and Walmart and Costco, and I think even, if it's at Walmart, it's at Sam's Club. They're even going into the high-end LED LCDs, which is where your backlight isn't a fluorescent lamp, it's actually an LED. But I'm just very impressed that this company has gone ahead and just blown away the competition. I mean, you hear about, you know, big names, Sony and Samsung and all these other manufacturers, and here little Vizio comes and just rolls over all of them. You know, one of the best-kept secrets in the LCD market is that there's really only two main manufacturers of panels. You know, the glass, the actual thing making the picture, there's only two main manufacturers. There's a few smaller ones, but two main manufacturers. So when you buy your LCD TV, it's coming with just one or the other kinds of glass. And yeah, there are differences in the electronics, and there's probably differences in the quality that you can pay for. But generally, if it looks good enough to you, don't spend more than you have to. Now, when you get that TV home, you want to hook it up to your stereo and your DVD player and everything, right? And so you're going to use an HDMI cable. Now, first of all, my father-in-law this weekend asked me, he needed an extension cable for his USB. And it reminded me that I need to let you guys know about where you're going to go anytime you need to buy a cable. These people aren't sponsors, but they probably should be. And that's monoprice.com. I've bought from them. I have a lot of friends that have bought from them. And it is insane how much money you are going to save if you go to Monoprice versus going to a retail store. Honestly, you walk into Best Buy and you try to buy an HDMI cable, the cheapest one they're going to have is going to be 3 foot long and $35. I can get you that same cable 10 foot long at Monoprice for probably about $6. So I'll put that link up in the show notes. But the reason I wanted to mention HDMI, and you're familiar with the HDMI cables, right? That's a little cable that replaced all those big other honking cables we used to have to use. It's just that little one that looks kind of like a long, flat USB plug, right? Well, just when you thought it was easy, they told us this is the one cable you're going to need. You're going to take this cable, you're going to plug it into your TV, you're going to plug it into your stereo, you're going to plug it into your computer. Everything's going to be just, you know, sunshine and puppy dogs. The, you know, the birds will sing, clouds will part, rainbows will fill the sky, angels will sing on high, and everything will be lovely. Until we introduced HDMI spec 1.4. Now, in all likelihood, all of your equipment at home is HDMI 1.2 or maybe 1.3. And there isn't a whole lot of difference between 1.2 and 1.3. 1.4, unfortunately, complicates things significantly as it actually breaks the HDMI spec out into no fewer than 7 different types of cables that are all going to call themselves HDMI. Now, 2 of them I can understand. Regular old HDMI and micro HDMI. But then they're going to have a special one for automotive, for connecting your automotive accessories. A special one for extra resolution support. A special one for 3-dimension support. A special one for audio return channel to allow you to plug multiple components to talk to each other. And a special one that will include an Ethernet channel. You know, I understand why this happens. It's called feature creep. But you take a perfect spec, something that's so easy and so simple, and you're going to just completely destroy it. The same thing happened with DVI. I don't know how many of you know that DVI has like 4 different variants, but if you've ever tried to plug in a monitor that has one of those DVI connections, and that's the one that's bigger than the VGA connection, you know, it's a big kind of long rectangular plug, and it usually has like 20 pins, but there's also maybe 1 or 2 long flat pins, but there's a couple different configurations. It's a disaster. I actually have a couple monitors that have to have adapters to get them to work, even though they're all DVI, because they did this exact same thing. Why can't we just have one cable that does what it's supposed to and stop trying to be everything for everyone? Or put all this crud on one cable. I'll pay an extra $5 to have all the stuff. You know what this means? This means twice as many phone calls from Grandma and Aunt Pearl about why I can't get a cable to work to hook up my VCR. That's what it means. Well, maybe not my VCR, but you know what I'm talking about. Let's go ahead and move on to a little unusual news. So, have you heard about Microsoft's Windows Lite? Yeah, we've talked about it a little bit on the show before. Basically, Windows Lite is the Windows Starter Edition. That's the edition that Microsoft puts on things like netbooks and very low-powered laptops. And the idea is they want to have a version of Windows that isn't going to cost too much. You know, right now, Microsoft Windows is way overpriced. And I'll tell you, Windows 7, insane in the pricing structure. You know, they're charging between $150 and, you know, $300, I think. But the average person is going to pay between $150 and $229 or something like that for Windows 7. That's crazy. Maybe when computers cost $3,000, that was okay. Good computers now cost $400 and $500. Paying $200 for the operating system is a little bit nuts. And if Windows really wants to see people start using alternate operating systems, let's just keep this up over there, Mr. Ballmer, okay? That'll be perfect. We'll all start using, you know, Unix and Linux eventually. Yeah, it's not going to happen as fast as I'd like it to, but you're going to get sick real fast of paying $150 for the operating system when your computer costs $250. Microsoft is doing everything to protect its investment. And one of the things it was doing is it had this cheapy, cheapy version of Windows that you could put on these inexpensive laptops. And it had to be really, really low priced because otherwise they were getting blown away by Linux. You know, a lot of these small mini laptops, these netbooks, have Linux on them because all you want to do is surf the net and check your email. And you can set up a Linux distribution to do this. And you'd never know you weren't on Windows unless you looked. Because all you click and the email comes up, you click and you're browsing the web, right? Well, so they made this cheapy, cheapy version of Windows, but then they got worried. They said, well, what if people start taking this cheapy, cheapy version and putting it on expensive computers? So they come out with all these licensing restrictions and they said, you can't have more than 3 applications running at once. Well, great. So I can have my email running and my virus scanner running and I can surf the internet, but goodness help me if a Skype call wants to come in. Yes. Well, they've removed that restriction. So a little bit better, but still, I think that I think Windows really needs to look at its pricing structure because I am seriously looking at my next netbook and I'm not even considering getting one with Windows on it. I'm thinking, why bother? Why pay the Windows tax? Also got a very interesting story here off of Ars Technica about GameStop and how their big profits could be their downfall. Now, GameStop, of course, is the EB Games, GameStop. It's a place where you go and buy your Xbox and your PS3 games, your Nintendo games, and they take trade-ins. And we've talked about it before that trade-ins are one of the big ways that they make money. They make most of their income from trade-ins. It is insane the markup they make on trade-ins. Because what happens is you buy a game for $50, or nowadays I guess it's $60. You bring it back in a month later, they give you $20 for it, and then put it on the shelf for $54. And if you think I'm kidding, go check it out. You go buy a game new, it's $59.95. You try to take it back, they'll give you $20, maybe $25 for it, and they will turn around 5 minutes later and put that game they just gave you $25 for and put it on the shelf for $4 less than a new game. And the idea being, really, what's the difference between a used game and a new game to the person buying it, except, hey, I just saved $5, right? Well, the difference is the developer isn't getting any of that money. And I have no problem with the used games. You know, I think, hey, it's a used game market. Developers are just going to have to deal with it. But more and more developers are moving to digital distribution and other ways to try to prevent people from wanting to trade their games in. But the real threat here is digital distribution, you know, like Steam or Impulse or any of those other services where you don't go to GameStop to buy your game. You get it directly from the publisher. Therefore, there's no game to trade back in. All you got is bits on a hard drive. And GameStop is so heavily invested into the used game market that combined with the fact that Amazon and Walmart's getting into the used game business, could be a couple rough quarters for GameStop over the next year. Tell me what you think. MikeThinks@gmail.com, or of course, you can call that voicemail hotline at 347. Bug Mike. Now I do have one last story in science news, and this is basically just a quick update. Got this off of livescience.com. Swine flu has now killed about 100 people. That's right, the H1N1 influenza virus has killed about 100 people, and most of these deaths have been in Mexico. There's a little Freudian slip, huh? Mexico. But it's been diagnosed in at least 46 countries. For all the fear-mongering and all the press, and I understand that, you know, scientists and the World Health Organization, you know, have to be kind of on top of things. But honestly, for all this that went on, 100 people have died. Now, that's, not that people dying is not a big deal. But let's remember that in the U.S. alone, about 36,000 people die every year of the regular flu. So less than 0.3%, not 3%, but 0.3%, the number of deaths that we usually have just here in the United States every year from regular flu, that's what the swine flu has killed over the past couple months worldwide. And yet, the news media was running around like chickens with their head cut off, couldn't get enough of it. So, you know, it's a good idea to take normal precautions. But it's just another example of how people are paying attention to the sensational stories and ignoring much more important things. You know, you probably do yourself a lot better service just by driving a little slower, eating a little better, and laughing just a little bit longer. That's what I think. Tell me what you think. MikeThinks@gmail.com. You know, I really do appreciate each and every one of you downloading and listening to the show, telling your friends, your neighbors, that guy standing next to you in the checkout line, looking at the Neosporin spray that looks just like a breath spray by Listerine. Keep waiting for somebody to make that mistake. All about Mike Thinks News and the whole Thinks Media family and helping the show grow. I'm Mike James. Until next time, I hope each and every one of you has a good one.